T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This episode of the Socially Distant Podcast is brought to you by Funky Buddha Hard Seltzer, a premium hard seltzer made from cane sugar and agave for a crisp, clean taste at only 90 funky calories. On today's episode, Chris Kilmore, or DJ Kilmore from Incubus.
DJ Kilmore's here. Let me hit this button, hit the ad. Waiting for DJ Kilmore. Dun, 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 dun. Hey!
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
You know. Dealing with this quarantine.
Yeah. Does it stress you out having to, not being able to go to places you normally could go to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm a homebody anyway.
Yeah.
When I'm at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I get my fix on tour. Like, you know,
exactly.
On tour, I'm out meeting hundreds and hundreds of people a day. And, mm-hmm. and when I come home, it's like I decompress to stay at home. So
yeah.
It's kind of like the way I work is like the grass is greener. About half the time I'm home, I'm like, okay, I need to go on tour now.
Yeah.
And then when I'm on tour, like, you know, halfway through the tour, maybe towards the end of the tour, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah.
And I've always taken for granted the amount of people that I get to see.
Yeah. You get to see a lot of them.
A lot of them.
A whole lot.
I have great conversations and I'm out socializing and mingling. I haven't even seen any of my friends since the middle of March.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was holding out. I was hoping that the Incubus 311 and Bad Flower show was going to happen August 2nd. Like every day when I was on the air, I'm like, all right, it's still happening. It's still happening. It's still. Then my boss was like, hey, man, sorry, it's not happening. But it'll happen. It'll happen sometime soon.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. We officially put the word out today.
Yeah. Positive vibes, right?
That it's canceled. Yeah. It's just for safety reasons.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we don't want to be the band that's out touring around and spreading the coronavirus around.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's not a good. That's not a good look in the press.
not at all. You know, we don't want that to happen. We don't want anyone to get sick. We don't want us to get sick. You know, we have a big staff and, mm-hmm. and us and all the fans and you know everybody works at the venues. It's a lot of people involved in putting on a concert.
Yeah, it is. There's trucks and there's people and a whole lot of stuff. Good response, James. So Chris, you, what was it, 98 when you get contacted by Incubus about joining? Tell me that story. How does that come about? I mean, that's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal. It's a crazy story. It changed my life, obviously.
Yeah.
I was just sitting at home in Los Angeles. I had moved out to Los Angeles around Halloween of 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Just picked up my bags and left. I had just graduated from George Washington University in D.C. Drove across country with a buddy, you know, packed up a couple duffel bags and came out. So I was just living check to check.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally was sitting on the couch the night before and I had a girlfriend at the time that was from Queens and she wanted to move back to Queens. And the night before I literally was like, yeah, I think I can do it. Let's talk tomorrow about making it happen.
Yeah.
And that next morning at 11 a.m., I get a phone call from Incubus's lawyer. Obviously, I never had heard of them at the time or anything mm-hmm. like that. And he's like, hey, a buddy of yours, it's a mutual friend of mine. It was a guy that used to manage a band I was just messing around in Los Angeles. Said that you're a DJ and you might be looking for work. And I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, I'm going to have the guitar player Mike call you.
Wow.
And Mikey calls me like 5 minutes later and he's like, hey man, you want to come and try out tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I did. And we just ended up talking about conspiracy theories and
I love
aliens.
That's my type of thing.
doing mushrooms and, you know, smoking weed and all that kind of stuff. And towards the end of the tryouts, they were like, why don't you set your stuff up and show us some stuff? And I was a battle DJ at the time, so I had all these battle routines planned, and I just showed them all these crazy tricks and scratching, and their draws just dropped. I don't think they had seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
And then we said our goodbyes. They gave me a shitty cassette tape of like of like 18 songs they had recorded in their rehearsal studio.
You got the pencil in the middle of it trying to wind it.
Exactly. It was falling apart. Yeah. I was like, okay, I could barely hear anything. I definitely could not hear Brandon. I could just hear cymbals crashing and guitar really loud. And that was it. They were like, okay, if we want to use you, we'll call you. They had their poker faces on. I was like, well, I don't know how that went. And I think that was a Saturday. And the next day was Valentine's Day. So Saturday night, they called me, something like that. And they called me and they're like, hey, can you rehearse tomorrow? I was like, no, I'm dating a Dominican girl from Queens. It's Valentine's Day. And I'm like, you don't understand. No. They're like, well, we want to take you up the West Coast for a show of like a run of five shows or something. We want to use you. Can you learn 18 songs on Monday, because we leave Tuesday? I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
All right.
So that's how it did. We did this run of shows up the West Coast, and it went great. We just clicked.
Yeah.
And it was fun. And I get done with that, and they same thing, poker faces. They just dropped me off. I'm like, all right, cool. I was like, okay, well, that gives me enough money to get back to the East Coast.
Yeah.
And then the day later, they're like, okay, pack your bags. We're leaving for Europe in like 2 or 3 days.
Whoa.
And that was it. My life changed. Like,
so
that.
What'd you do with the girlfriend?
Well, she wanted to move back east.
Yeah.
And she, at the same time, I don't think she wanted me to go, but she was the kind of girl who wouldn't tell me not to go. So she was cool like that.
Nice.
And that year we did 305 shows, I think. And so obviously it was like went from a girlfriend to like that.
Yeah.
So when I got home the end of that year, you know, she was like, yeah, no.
This ain't going to work. So when you officially signed to a band like that, is there ever a moment where you're brought into some office building with record label people, or is it all just this sort of laid back type, let's go?
No, we were small. You know, we were selling 50 records a week at that time, playing bars with capacity of 50 people. So it wasn't like that. There were times like that, and obviously those guys had been through it, getting signed and everything like that. It wasn't until we got a little bigger that, you know, they called us into the office and started, you know, started talking to us, and that was a cool experience. But at the same time, you know, I'm not real corporate.
Yeah, me neither. That's why I got into radio.
A rock band's a good choice.
Yeah,
if you're looking for another gig.
And it's your thing is like a one of a kind story, because there's not many stories of DJs, turntablists, whatever, hooking up with a rock alternative band and being with it for 20 years. I mean, it truly is a one of a kind. When you're recording, do you kind of just do? How do you record songs with them? Do they lay down the tracks first, then you add on top of it, or is it all together? How does that work?
Well, we're usually all in a room. There's, it's the way we record is pretty organic, so it happens a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
I say the most common way is Mike will have a riff that touches Brandon, and Brandon will get a melody from it, and those two will start vibing, and then the rest of us kind of start filling in all the gaps.
Yeah.
But it could come from anywhere, it could come from a beat I'm playing. It could come from a song that they're rocking out, and I'll mix in like Pony by Genuine with it. I'm like, yo, it's the same key and it's the same tempo.
Yeah.
Check this out. And this little riff works. And so it's like puzzle pieces everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, when we go to record, I'm usually one of the last. Brandon and I are usually one of the last record, and we're kind of like, he'll record some vocals, I'll record some keys or DJ parts. He'll do some backgrounds, I'll do some more. And we kind of just like, bring it to its finished product.
And it's always just kind of a natural thing. The flow between you all just works.
It works. It works. I think that's
beautiful.
A testament to me being in the band 20 years.
Yeah.
And for them being around for so long. Next year is their 30th anniversary of being in a band.
Yeah.
Of a band together. Yeah.
That's insane. I bet you it's going by fast, right?
Yeah, it's going by real fast up until January.
Exactly. Everything slowed down. So you go from selling, you know, 50 records, 100 records, it goes up to 100, then, you know, 1,000, then it reaches a point where you start selling 500,000 or you sell a million copies of like Make Yourself. When you hit those, you know, those top points, those pinnacle times, do you have like a celebration? Are you a band that all celebrate together? Is it just like, oh, cool, we did it?
Yeah, we're kind of like, cool, we did it. Mm-hmm. Other people will celebrate for us or take us out. I remember when we sold a million records, the head of our record label took us to Jacob the Jeweler. I don't know if you know that,
no.
that guy in New York City. That was a
sounds kind of sketchy in a good
sketchy.
Way.
It was a little sketchy, but everybody at the time, all the hip hop guys used him and stuff like that. Yeah. So he took us there and he was like, all right, pick out any watch you want. And he bought us all watches.
Nice.
And that was like really the only time that something like that has happened. And that was when we hit the million, you know, the million milestone. Other than that, you know, we're all pretty humble.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great. And we celebrate, we give each other high fives and
nothing wrong with a high five.
Yeah, that's about it.
Now, your bandmates have described you as they've said they like your style and attitude to life. What do you think they mean about that?
They said that?
According to Wikipedia, which anybody can update, but let's just pretend.
I'm optimistic. I always try to find the silver lining in bad things, and I'm definitely like level keeled.
Yeah.
You know, unless I got a bunch of Jameson or Jack in me, I'm pretty chill.
What about tequila?
Actually, I really only drink tequila.
Yeah, me
That's
too.
Why I'm cool with tequila. Yeah. It's the whiskey that sends me over the top.
Me too. I'm a small guy too. I'm like 5'7", and for some reason, when I drink whiskey, I think I'm bigger and I get angry. So tequila's my thing.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I get along with everybody. I've always been that guy, and even the people that are the haters and are really hard to deal with, like I almost find it a challenge to just be nice to them and be cool with them, because I feel like one thing we do as a band touring around the world is we're giving you a piece of us, and any little piece that rubs off and you take home with you, like, job done.
You know? Definitely.
Yeah.
Have you, do you remember that first time you had one of those almost out of body experiences? Say maybe you're performing live at a big festival or concert where you kind of actually soaked it all in. You step back and you're like, wow, this has actually happened. My dream has come true. Do you remember the first moment that ever happened?
No.
All right. Next question.
When you said out of body experience, I was like, are you talking about mushrooms? What are you talking about? I did have an experience that was really surreal. It was after 9/11. We played immediately after 9/11, like within 5 days after 9/11. Three of us were in New York City doing press when all that went down. And we literally had to walk out of New York City with our bags up Broadway. It was just surreal. No cars, nothing, empty. And we meet a van up by Central Park and, you know, get across the bridge and get into tour bus and go to New Hampshire for our first show. And our next show after that was back in New York City, but in New Hampshire, it was outside. They gave everybody candles to light and we played The Warmth. And we had a moment of silence and then broke into The Warmth of the Wails, and everybody had their candles lit. And literally I was in awe. I was like, this is crazy. Like the emotion took over me. And that was definitely one of those moments.
A very emotional moment.
You know,
we all came together.
Yeah. When you say a moment where like, I've made it. Mm-hmm. Like I understand what we have, and I understand that we have made it and we are a big band, but I still want more. I feel like there's more.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I noticed your setup in the background. Is this a newer setup that you have? Is this in your house?
Yeah, this is my house.
Cool.
This is my studio. I could shoot
beautiful, man. That's my dream there.
I got keyboards and things everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you go into Guitar Center or Sam Ash or anything like that and just go, huh? Yeah, let's go ahead and get it.
I used to.
Yeah.
I'm definitely like every musician. I got a problem. If it's a piece of gear, I want it.
Definitely.
Know? Yeah.
What's your favorite thing on the internet right now?
Tony Baker comedy.
Tony Baker comedy? Hold on.
If you haven't seen it, you could just look him up on Instagram. He does voiceovers for funny clips.
Tony Baker comedy.
And there are some gems on there.
All right, I want to check him out. Tony Baker comedy. what's your favorite spot to record?
My favorite spot to record. Oh, man. There's a lot of them. Just off the top of my head, I'm going to have to say Morning View.
Yeah.
We recorded that whole album in a house in Malibu, and that was pretty special.
Sounds like
it. Yeah, but we recorded at Blackbird Studios in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Here in Los Angeles, my favorite place to record is Henson Studios.
Yeah.
Not to diss any other recording studios, because they're all awesome.
Everyone I've ever been into is wonderful.
I mean, yeah, talk about gear. You walk into the recording studio, it's like, what?
Earlier, you were talking about conspiracy theories. What are some of your favorite ones?
Oh, geez.
Top one or two?
Top one or two, that maybe that there's a alien base on the dark side of the moon.
Yes. What about underwater or in Antarctica? Huh?
Underwater, yeah. My favorite show, especially at nighttime to fall asleep to, is Ancient Aliens.
Yes.
So I'm all about that.
I go down these rabbit holes with conspiracies. Next thing I know, it's 3 hours later, and I don't believe what's real anymore.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm more like a alien kind of guy. Yeah. I definitely can't fathom or rationalize the universe being so big and us being the only ones here.
If you had a chance, like say Elon Musk hit you up and he was like, man, I love your work. Want to come to space with me? Would you go to space with him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The wife wouldn't be too happy. No. I'd be like, yeah.
What's your favorite vacation spot?
Ooh. Somewhere in the Swiss Alps.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the wintertime. I'm a big winter sports activity guy.
I like snowboard and stuff? Bunch.
Yeah, I like to ski. I've been skiing since I've been a little kid.
Awesome.
And so I enjoy that. But, you know, in the winter, I like to be on the slopes. In the summer, I like to just to be somewhere on a deserted island, or at least an unpopulated island.
Yeah.
Sitting on the beach, just chilling.
Laid back.
Yeah.
What do you wish there was more of in the music industry?
Ooh, more of. Wow, that's a good question.
Thanks. See y'all later.
That's a really good question. I'm gonna say. Wow, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
I want to say good music, because I feel like that with the internet and everybody being able to make music, like there's just so much music that you have to filter through to get through to the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
that it's, you know, at being a DJ and trying to be on top of new music, it's just like next, trying to find something that touches you emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say that good music.
What artists are touching you emotionally lately?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And I'm writing these down, by the way.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Man, that's a tough one. I listen to a lot of old music.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that have touched me all my life are the ones that still touch me the most. Yeah. So I would have to say artists like Pink Floyd,
mm-hmm.
Elton John, Stevie Wonder.
Beautiful.
You know, I just started following Herbie Hancock on Instagram the other day, and I was like, he's one of my favorite artists. How come I never followed him before?
He has Instagram?
Yeah. So I'm stuck with those artists, you know, like mm-hmm. they've made a platform that all of us today build upon. Yeah. So, you know, if it's current, yeah, I'm really into Anderson .Paak a lot.
All right.
I can't believe that dude can play drums like he does and sing at the same time, and it's so creative.
Yeah.
You know? So
That's gotta be a tough one to do, drums and sing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, let alone the exercise and the physical exertion you have to put into it, but the timing of having so many different things going on and being able to syncopate it all.
Definitely. Yeah. So is everything up in the air for the rest of the year right now? It's kind of just like,
well, we just canceled the summer tour. So for us, that was, you know, going to basically wrap us up for the end of the year, you know, aside from some other shows. So yeah. And maybe even into next year too. It really depends on how the U.S. handles opening back up. You know, exactly. Of course there's some states that act like nothing's going on. And then we're here in Los Angeles and we're like quarantined until the mid July.
Yeah. They keep adding months. I saw in LA, like, just a little bit longer. So
it's really up in the air. And I think that's the hardest part to deal with. That is, you just can't plan and you can't really figure out what's going on. And as you know, touring musicians will be one of the last to get up and running.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to hope that we see you sooner than later. I definitely miss you. You guys have been a part of my life since I first started my internet radio station when I was 14. I'm 36 now, and I would overplay Make Yourself like it was a number one hit on a top 40 station. All the songs. Oh, I annoyed the hell out of the two listeners I had when I was 14 years old because it was nothing but Incubus nonstop. I want to thank you for all the music you put out with the band, and it really is wonderful.
Yeah, appreciate that, and thank you as well. And of course, you know, you don't annoy anybody playing that record.
Yeah,
but yeah, we're doing things like this. You know, we're putting out music. You know, we just put out Trust Fall Side B, and we're doing little videos. And you know, we'll do anything we can to keep engaged in contact and in contact with everybody. You know, it's a new world now, so we're just trying to figure it out.
Awesome. Hey, dude, it was nice getting to meet you for the first time, and hopefully next time it will be in person.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hopefully sooner than later.
All right, appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, take care.
Later.
Bye.